Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Solasko. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production together with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. For the most part, better health is a choice. You can exercise or not. You can eat a good diet or not. You can carry excess body fat or you can try to lose it. You can smoke cigarettes or not. Your family history does have an influence, but for most of the degenerative diseases that afflict westernized countries, the lifestyle people choose determines whether or not they get a disease. This is especially true for the three biggest killers: cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and some forms of cancer. More people die from those three diseases in Western society than from any others. Now, close to 30 years ago, researchers in Britain proposed a solution for reducing cardiovascular disease by more than 80%, they claimed. It was a polypill. After examining the data in large clinical trials, they determined that four risk factors for cardiovascular disease are important to control: LDL cholesterol, the lousy one, blood pressure, homocysteine levels, and platelet aggregation, or clotting. They proposed that a combination of pharmaceuticals and vitamins could be used to control these risk factors and thereby reduce the morbidity rate by 80%. The polypill would include these: a statin to lower LDL cholesterol, aspirin to prevent blood clotting, folic acid to reduce homocysteine levels, and three different medications, a diuretic, a beta blocker, and an angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitor to lower blood pressure. Now, these medications, combined in a single pill, would be about half the normal dose taken to treat a disease. Who would take it? Everyone 55 years and older. And that's correct, everyone. The researchers understood that their view would be controversial. There would be years of clinical trials and debate before this polypill was available. But they also made a statement that goes a long way towards explaining why they took this approach. It should be recognized that in Western society, the risk factors are high in us all, so everyone is at risk. Now, one interpretation of that statement is that people who live in Western society refuse to change their diets, refuse to lose weight, and refuse to exercise, so they must all take medications to lower their risk of disease. It went nowhere for 15 years. Then about 5 years ago, the polypill was resurrected and a form of it was used in a clinical trial. This time, the objective was to see if there would be a difference in the rate of secondary events between subjects who had recent heart attacks and who took the polypill, and those that took the same medications, but as individual pills. The medications used were slightly different than the original. They were aspirin, the ACE inhibitor, and a statin. After 3 years of follow-up, the subjects using the polypill experienced significantly fewer secondary events, 8.5% versus 11.7%. Can you figure out why subjects who took the polypill did better than the subjects who took the same medications individually? The subjects taking the polypill were more consistent in actually taking their meds, the all-in-one pill, than the subjects who took the exact same medications but as individual pills. They didn't ask the subjects whether it was easier to remember to take one versus three pills. But that could be a factor, as the mean age of the subjects were over 75 years old. Whatever the reason, the experimental subjects just took their medication on a more regular basis. Now, that difference in secondary events was about 3.2%, and that totals about 80 fewer events of the total subjects in the study, roughly 2,500. Taking that to the entire population of a country or the world would reduce deaths and serious future outcomes by hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people. Moreover, the cost to treat all those people with a polypill might have prevented recurring events and would have saved millions of healthcare dollars while improving the quality of life. Now, to be clear, this was a specific population, people over 75 years within months of having had a heart attack. The benefit could be even greater in people who began to take the medication earlier in life to prevent or delay the heart attack to begin with. More research is needed. I recently listened to a couple of podcasts that were completely unrelated to health, but talked about the same subject, GLP-1 agonists. And just to review, the GLP-1 receptor agonists are medications that allow the manufacture of the hormone GLP-1. Without getting too technical, GLP-1 is a hormone that helps the body release insulin, which can lower HbA1c levels in diabetics. It also functions to increase satiety so users don't eat as much and thus lose weight. And with that in mind, here's a recap of those conversations. Obesity is an issue in the United States, with 70% of the population being overweight or obese. In the first discussion, the physician stated that they put their overweight patients on a low dose of GLP-1 agonist to help them get their appetite under control. The objective is to help the individual reduce hunger while transitioning to a higher protein diet. It's using the pharmaceutical in a way in which it was designed. The result helps the patient lose weight with an exit strategy of adapting a new lifestyle of eating less and moving more. Now, the second discussion was between a tech expert and a finance expert, neither one in the healthcare field. The tech expert shared a story of how a nurse she knew, who weighed over 300 pounds, was using the GLP-1 agonist to get to a more reasonable weight to be able to participate in more activities with her family. Well, that lit up the finance expert to say, if we were really serious about addressing a health issue, drop the cost of the GLP-1 agonist to an affordable level of about $50 per month or less instead of the current pricing of over $1,000 a month. The pharmaceutical companies would end up increasing sales overall and reduce the number of overweight and obese citizens from 70% to half that. That would have an effect of saving about $500 billion in healthcare costs or more per year. That would help around 100 million people and probably save even more than his estimate. And more than that, the population would be healthier as long as they were also trained on how to make better food choices, cook better, and exercise on a regular basis to maintain their weight loss. Now, if you're a regular listener, you got to be sitting there thinking, between the polypill and the GLP-1 agonist, I've changed my approach to getting healthier. Not in the least. But if people are not going to eat better, eat less, and move more to adopt a healthy lifestyle, perhaps getting there by using the medication route with an exit strategy for both approaches may provide the boost that people need. I can't fault the researchers for taking the pharmaceutical approach. We've done little in our society to prove that we are willing to change our lifestyles. Each of the risk factors addressed by the researchers can be dealt with through lifestyle changes. Exercise, weight loss, and lowering the intake of saturated fat and refined carbohydrates. But neither the physician nor the tech and finance experts address the issue of lifestyle change because we haven't demonstrated the willingness to change. Isn't it time for us to begin to exercise regularly, eat less and eat healthier, and modify other things in our lifestyle as well? Let me tell you, if we don't, let me ask you this question. How long will it be before health insurance carriers tell us if we don't take the pharmaceuticals, we won't get health insurance? You don't think that could happen? With the cost of healthcare spiraling out of control, what makes you think they won't insist on this form of prevention? As Americans, we value one thing above all others, freedom. I believe it should be a person's choice and maybe a responsibility to take care of their bodies. All of us need health insurance to cover accidents and other catastrophic events that we may encounter. But if, by taking charge of our personal health, we can reduce our need for treating degenerative diseases That benefits society in general, as well as us personally. And I think that's a noble and worthy goal. So if you haven't started yet, all I have to say is, let's go! And that's all the time I have for this episode. If you like this podcast, please hit the share button and tell your friends and colleagues about it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.